بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 13th of July in the year 2020 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the fifth night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of our beloved mother Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha. And I'm on the subsection in which I'm mentioning or answering the important question, are the noble mothers of the believers from the august Ahlul Bayt? And yesterday I mentioned a direct report from one of the great companions of our beloved who mentioned they certainly are in Sahih Muslim. So to clarify further, in Tirmidhi number 3897, Hasan Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 26,570, Tabarani in his Kabir, 9-11, Al-Bidayah, 8-35, Shaykh Albani Rahmatullah Ali states, Sahih Lighayri in his Sahih Sunnah Al-Tirmidhi, number 3038. Our beloved mother Sayyida Umm Salama radiyallahu anha, she relates, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once put a cloak over Hassan, Hussein, Ali and Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and thereupon made the following dua, اللهم هؤلاء أهل بيتي وخاصتي أذهب عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the people of my household and closest to me. Remove from them filth and purify them with the Tula purification. I thereupon asked, وَأَنَا مَعَهُمْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, am I too amongst them يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innaki ala khair, verily you are already upon goodness. So let's look at this. So is it authentic? Yes. Imam Tirmidhi graded it Hasan Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad, and it's Sahih li ghayri in Sahih Sunnah al-Tirmidhi. So who's narrating? Our beloved mother Salama radiyallahu anha. And she, in her dwelling, this beautiful incident took place, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put under a cloak his immediate family members, his daughter, his grandsons, and his son-in-law. And then he made the dua, O Allah, they are the people of my household, closest to me. Remove from them filth and purify them with the Tula purification. So Salama radiyallahu anha, she asked, because she wasn't under the cloak. She goes, Wa ana ma'ahum ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Am I too amongst them? Even though I'm not under the cloak, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Innaki ala khair. Verily you are upon goodness. This incident took place in the sacred chamber of Salama. That's why she is narrating. So it was in her chamber that this incident took place, as mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Question. Why did our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not allow his noble wife to be placed under the blessed cloak? That's the argument. So the Rawafid will say, look, she wasn't part of the family, because the Prophet said, you got goodness. In other words, you're not Ahlul Bayt. The reason for this is that it would not have been proper to include her with Ali under the cloak. In Sahih Muslim, Salama radiyallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am I not a part of your family? He answered, of course, come under the cloak. Though she got under the cloak after he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had finished his dua for his cousin Ali, two sons, and his daughter Fatima radiyallahu anha. So this explains. So where is it recorded? Sahih Muslim. She goes, am I not part of your family, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Prophet said, of course you are. Come under the cloak. But what does it say? She got under the cloak after who had left the family member, because Ali radiyallahu anhu. So she was placed under the cloak. Hence Rasulullah himself testified sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Salama radiyallahu anhu was part of his household, and he admitted her under the cloak after he had offered dua for the other blessed four. So this is again innovators, very selective in narrating. They narrate things that will confuse you. She wasn't under the cloak Sahih Muslim. What else does Sahih Muslim say? And if that is your research, if you're ignorant, obviously, there's hope for you. But if you're deliberately doing that, who are you playing games with? Astaghfirullah. In another report, our mother Umm Salama radiyallahu anha said, in Ibn Asakir in his Arba'een on the memorable qualities of the mothers of the believers, number 36, page 158 of the English translation, he states Sahih. Our beloved mother Umm Salama radiyallahu anha said, this verse was revealed in my chamber. Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 33. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only intends to keep filth away from you, O members of the family, and to purify you with the thorough purification. She then asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am I not one of the Ahlul Bayt? He said, Allah alayhi wa sallam replied, you have better. You are one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your status is guaranteed in the Quran. She continued, and the Ahlul Bayt are Ali, Fatima al-Hasan and al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala. So let's look at this. So this is another Sahih Hadith in Ibn Asakir. Hafiz Ibn Asakir, rahmatullah alayh, he collected an Arba'een in memory of the mothers of the believers. So he actually did a very short work on this. So number 36, the hadith number 36, he mentions this hadith and he graded it Sahih. So what did Umm Salama radiyallahu anha say? That verse was revealed of purification in my chamber. And she asked, am I not one of the Ahlul Bayt? What did the Prophet say? You have better. Like you say in English, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Right? You have better. What better than the Ahlul Bayt? You are one of the wives of Rasulullah. Now why did the Prophet say that? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He's called the wives of the Prophet mothers. So the Prophet was referring to that. He goes, of course, you are better. You are one of the wives of Rasulullah. Your status is guaranteed in the Quran. Why do you need to ask whether you're part of the family? But then she explained, Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, of course also from the Ahlul Bayt. Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu also testified that the above sacred verse was revealed in her chamber. Refer to Al-Haythami in Majma al-Zawaid 9-168. So again, proofs after proofs indicating that they were certainly of the Ahlul Bayt or even better. It is also explicitly mentioned that our beloved mothers are from the august Ahlul Bayt from the incident when our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Sayyida Zainab bin Jahsh radiyallahu anhu, and some men had not left his dwelling. He had then gone to visit his other wives. So what happened? Putting it very simply, he's married Zainab bin Jahsh radiyallahu anhu. So this is another one of our beloved mothers, the first cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of the men, they had not left the dwelling. So Rasulullah left out of, you know, bashfulness to see his other wives. So what happened? In Sahih Bukhari, Nasa'i in his Sunan Al-Kubra 6-75, Fath al-Bari 8-388, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 8, page 25 of the English translation, Anas radiyallahu anhu said, there were three people left who were talking in the chamber. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went out once more until he came to the chamber of Aisha radiyallahu anha, and he said to her, As-salamu alaykum ahlal bayt wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, O ahlul bayt, and the mercy and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She replied, and upon you be the peace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How did you find your new wife, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went around to the apartments of all his wives and spoke with them as he had spoken with Aisha radiyallahu anha, and they spoke as Aisha had spoken radiyallahu anha. So this is the relevant part of the report. So where is this recorded? Sahih Bukhari, Nasa'i, no doubt. So he's gone to Aisha's chamber. How did he address sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his wife? Did he say, assalamu alaikum, my dear wife? Assalamu alaikum, oh my consort. He said, Assalamu alaikum, Ahlul Bayt. Doesn't Rasulullah know who Ahlul Bayt is? Think about, you know, what they think. He's only one person in the chamber, Aisha. Just her, he goes, Assalamu alaikum, Ahlul Bayt. So Aisha's Ahlul Bayt. Rawafid say, no, she's not. Then he went, the hadith says, to all of the other wives. Who were the other wives? Juwayriyah, you name them, radiyallahu ta'ala. And he said the same, Assalamu alaikum, Ahlul Bayt, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, and the men eventually had by then left, whereupon verse 53 of Surah Ahzab was revealed, upon which the Almighty and Glorious mentioned etiquettes of entering the sacred chambers. So why am I mentioning all this? Because you need to know your own understanding. Some people have a go at the Rawafid. You don't even know your own. Where do you stand then, brother? You're having a go at them. What's your understanding? Hasn't got a clue. So I think about that. You know, how foolish is that? You need to know your own understanding first. Our understanding, as is testified to in the Quran and Sunnah, is that all the mothers of the believers are from the Ahlul Bayt. And the clearest proof is the hadith in Bukhari where the Prophet addressed them as Ahlul Bayt. Individually, each and every one. You can't say, well, Khadija is Ahlul Bayt, Aisha isn't. Jawayri is Ahlul Bayt, Zainab isn't. Each and every one, he addressed them as Ahlul Bayt. But we go one step further. Because the Prophet went one step further. He said, you have better. You are one of the wives of Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that. You are one of the wives of Rasulullah. So now the scholars don't go into this. But what does that actually mean? If you look at the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every iota of his being is pure. The things that are impure on us are pure on him. Blood is impure on us. It's pure for him. The Sahaba, some of the Sahaba took the blessed blood when he was cooked and they buried it, but some of them drank it. They got superhuman strength. And the Prophet also said, the fire of hell is forbidden to you. He didn't say, why did you drink blood? Haven't I taught you? Hasn't the Quran taught you that the blood is najis? Didn't say that. He praised them because the blood of the Prophet is pure. His urine is pure. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Ayman radiallahu anha drank the urine because the Prophet during the night would urinate in a bowl. But she thought it was some water. She drank it. The next day, the Prophet ﷺ asked, where is that? She goes, I drank it, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ said, you will never suffer from a stomach ailment. He didn't say, why did you drink urine? His urine is pure. In Daru Qutni, the Prophet ﷺ would go for a call of nature, come back, no smell. Our mother asked, why don't we smell anything from you, Ya Rasulullah? He goes, the earth consumes the remains of the Prophets. So every iota of him is pure. But there's one part which only the mothers of the believers were given honor to. And that is between the husband and wife. Bole bali Musulman, can't you even understand that much? Right? Think about that. If every iota of him is pure, then if somebody says there's one part of the Holy Prophet which only his wives have got access to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how priceless does that become? Just for that, you know, use your brains. Why are you speaking of the wife, mothers of the believers? Right? Think about that. So note again, you know, foolishness on their part. And also, let me just add this. With regards to all our mothers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explicitly said, my wives in this world are my wives in the hereafter. My wives in this world are my wives in the hereafter. This is in Qurtubi, it is tafsir, with the authentic chain of transmission. Now, why is this hadith very important to memorize? Because our mothers, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, are not like the other prophets' wives. What's the difference? What's the clear difference between the other wives of the prophets?
Not all were given iman.
Not all of them were Muslims. Nuh alayhi salam's wife was a kafir. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's wife was a kafir. So fruitcakes, what do they start saying? What's special about the Prophet's wives? They look at these verses. Think about that. They go, yeah, what's special about the wife? Don't you read Quran, brother? Nuh alayhi salam's wife was a kafir. So why are you getting so hot under the collar under Aisha for? And then bole baligo. Next minute, go and join your brothers in it. Then you say, hang on a minute, brother. There's a difference. What's the difference? Rasulullah said, my wives in this world are my wives in the akhirat. What was he really saying? Don't dare compare my wives to my brother's wives, my father's wives. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Because they weren't given that guarantee. My wives have a status above them. Everyone I marry will die with the imam because I'm going to be with them again in paradise. Similarly, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he echoed that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yadkhulun nara man tazawwaja ilay atazawwajtu ilay. He will not enter the fire who allied himself to me through marriage or to whom I ally myself through marriage. Subhanallah. In Ibn Asakir in his Arba'een, number 36, on the memorable qualities of the mothers of the believers, he stated Hasan. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That person who gets married, who becomes my in-law, allies himself through me through marriage, or I ally myself to them through marriage, the fire has no access to them. So the brother-in-laws of the Prophet are all with Iman, guaranteed paradise. So who are a few of his brothers-in-law? Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu. Bole bali Musliman can't even defend Sahaba. Who else is brother-in-law? Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu. Now think about that, right? Is that a coincidence? Who's his father-in-law? Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. Can't even defend Sahaba. He goes, yeah, so what if he goes? Look at the statements they make. So what? Look how ironic that is. We are the lovers of the family. And when you talk about the family, they're talking about them as if they're nothing. So what? Who's the father-in-law? So what? You have the audacity to say you love the family of the Prophet. You're speaking like this. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note again, very easy to dismantle their arguments. Those are critical difference between the sacred wives of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the wives of the other holy prophets alayhi salatu wa sallam, who were not given this guarantee. For it is clearly mentioned in Surah Tahrim, Surah 66, that the Holy Prophet Nuh and Lut alayhi salatu wa sallam's wives were unbelievers. Think about that. Right? The Holy Prophets had to go through the severest tests. What greater test can there be than your wife not being a Muslim? The peace and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon our beloved messenger and all his noble brothers and fathers alayhi salatu wa sallam, and indeed all his noble family. Ameen. Radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And just to add this, if you look at where the verse is found, the verse of purity, Surah 33, verse 33, the context is all about the wives of the Prophet. Look at the verses before it, look at the verses after it. Ya Nisa'un, O women of the Prophet, O wives of the Prophet, Allah Ta'ala is telling you. Read the verses, O wives of the Prophet, O wives of the Prophet. But suddenly in verse 33, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He changes to the male pronoun. Right? He changes to the male pronoun. What does that mean? If you use the male pronoun, who are you talking to? Who are you talking about? You're talking about males. Obviously. If I'm talking about a female, I'm not going to start saying, he did this. Right? You use the female. So why does Allah the Almighty and Glorious in verse 33 go to the male pronoun? Masculine plural pronoun. So again, the Rawafid. Because he's not talking about the wives. He's talking about Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Fatima. So again, there you go. If you don't know basics about your deen, they're going to confuse you. He goes, wives of the Prophet before, wives of the Prophet after. Suddenly, yes, this verse is not talking about them. So what's our response to that? Our response to this is twofold. First of all, when you give salam, how do you give salam? How do females give salam? Yeah, what did they say? Assalamu alaikum. Ask the Arab, which pronoun are you using? Masculine or female? Because masculine. So why am I giving a masculine pronoun greeting to a female? Why are females giving masculine pronoun greetings? Right? The response is because this is to honor them. When you go to the masculine pronoun, it's to honor the females. It's a way of honoring them. Assalamu alaikum. Kum. Right? Kum is a masculine pronoun. No change. Why? Because to honor the females. Secondly, it was for this very reason that our beloved messenger got his blessed cloak. That was the very reason, because he knew that if he didn't clarify with the cloak, you would think that the verses are only referring to his wives. You may erroneously believe that. So what did he do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He got his blessed cloak, he put it over Hassan, Hussein, Ali and Fatima, saying, these are my family, Ya Allah. To indicate that, don't get confused by the Quran, these are also my family members. And where, and why is that such a beautiful way of explanation? Because if Allah Ta'ala turned to the masculine pronoun, He is telling you in the Quran that the Ahlul Bayt are not just females. Have you understood? If He did not put that masculine pronoun in the Holy Quran, you would have said, well, how are the males the Ahlul Bayt? Quran is only mentioning the females. So He's turned to the masculine, and the Prophet clarified with the cloak, is referring to my grandsons. And Ali, who was the father of my grandsons and their children, radiallahu ta'ala. But the Rawafid will say, no, that's a proof, it's against that they're the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why is it important to really hammer this into your memory and understanding? Because then you won't be open to deviancy. Right? We love the Ahlul Bayt. But loving them doesn't mean lying about them. You're lying about them. Right? Think about that. A'udhu billah. So moving on. Next section entitled, A Glimpse into Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha's piety and her love of worship. Indeed, our beloved mother Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha was noble, beautiful and pious. She spent her days in the prophetic dwelling, offering salah, fasting and giving sadaqah. But where's the proof? In Sahih Muslim, number 6864, Nasa'i, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, 6-325, Mishkat, in the chapter on the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Targheeb, number 1290, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 87 of the New English Translation. Our beloved mother Sayyida Juwayriya radiyallahu anha herself relates, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once went out from me one morning when he had offered the Fajr prayer. Whilst I was in my place of worship, he returned in the forenoon, a few hours later, and I was still sitting at my place of worship. He thereupon asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا زِلْتِ عَلَى الْحَالِ الَّتِي فَارَقْتُكِ عَلَيْهَا. Are you still in the same position in which I left you a few hours earlier? I replied, yes, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and he said, since leaving you earlier, I said three times four words, which if you weighed them against all you said today, they would still be heavier than what you said. They are subhanallahi wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midada kalimati. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, free from all imperfection, and praise is due to Him according to the number of His creations, according to the pleasure of His self, according to the weight of His throne, and according to the ink used in recording the words, i.e. for His praise. Let's look at this. So where is it recorded? Chronicles of Narnia, right? In Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i Abu Dawud Tirmidhi Ibn Majah, and Imam Ahmad Muslim. So who's narrating the report? Our mother herself, radiyallahu anha. So what glimpse have you got of her life now? What was she fond of? Zikr, worship. What were we fond of? Playing on mobile phones, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he goes, he prays the Fajr. When he offered the Fajr prayer, imagine, you know, he's not like me and you, in and out. Probably people came to him, he's, you know, sharing things with them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He comes back, the clue is, when does he come back? Duha. So, hazard a guess, Fajr, let's say 6 o'clock, using our time. Duha is at half past 9, 10 o'clock. So he come back 4 hours later, 3-4 hours later. Juwayriya hasn't moved. Think about that. What was she doing for 3 hours? So the Prophet asks her first, because she might have got up, done her other things and sat back on the prayer mat, as they say. He goes, مَا زِلْتِ عَلَى الْحَالِ الَّتِي فَارَقْتُكِ عَلِيهَا. Are you still in the same position? I left you. She goes, yes. Now think about it. We don't know what she did. So for 3 hours she was doing something. Was she offering salat? Was she doing zikr? Was she contemplating upon the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But 3 hours of worship for our mother must be something amazing. Look at the sledgehammer. Rasulullah said to her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since I left you, I've already said 3 times, 4 words, and they are heavier than what you've just done. So this is knowledge, right? Somebody goes to you, you know, you can worship, but worship with understanding. And what were the words? These words, if you say 3 times, was greater than our mother's worship in those 3 hours. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi adada khalqihi wa rida nafsihi wa zinata arshihi wa midad khalimati. Look how beautiful the meaning. Glorified and free from all imperfection is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and praise is due to him. Then what does it say? According to the number of his creation. Ya Allah, as much as you've created, I'm praising you the same number of times. How many creations? According to the pleasure of yourself, according to your generosity, your pleasure, I'm praising you as much as that. According to the weight of your throne, how heavy is that? Rabbul Arshi Lazim, the crown, the, you know, the roof of creation. And according to the ink used in recording words for your praises. If you say that 3 times, immense reward. Now this is important to finish. It is important to note there are slight variations in this blessed dhikr when you look at other reports. Recorded in Sahih Muslim, Nasa'i Ahmad, number 2334, 2900, 3005, 3308 Sahih, Targhib Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 87-8 of the New English Translation. Thus there is no harm in reciting whichever of them you wish. You get slight variations in the zikr. So what do fruitcakes will start arguing over it? No brother, this is how you do the zikr. Subhanallah, adada khalki, you stop there. Another one goes, no, brother, you did it all in one go. Brother, just do it. Right? This slight variation, the Prophet maybe was making it easy for you to do this. So in whose dwelling and on whose authority have we got that zikr? Every time, look at the gift that the Prophet gave. So, you know, if you think about it, look how generous the Prophet is. He could have given that gift to anybody. Who did he give it to? Joaria. Because he was pleased with her. And who did she give it to? Her children. It reached us. If she's your mother, if she's not your mother, then go to your mother, innit? Maybe in Iran, right? Astaghfirullah. Think about that, innit? So every time anybody does this zikr, who's getting the reward? Jawadiya. Our mother. Doesn't that make you happy? Think, oh, I'm sending a gift to my mother. Right? The one who's guaranteed paradise. Right? So, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, adada khalqihi, wa rida nafsihi, wa zinata arshihi, wa midar kalimati. Don't worry, it's easy to learn. Thus note the intense love of the priceless zikr of our exalted Lord from our beloved mother. So let's say she was doing zikr for 3 hours. Do we do zikr for 3 hours? I tell you straight, bikes are in, legs are gone, you know, classic symptoms come out. Brother, my circulation start, I've got to stand up. 3 hours. And because they love to do it. And she wouldn't have even told the Prophet, but he asked. Because haven't you moved? No, I haven't moved. And then the Prophet didn't even ask her, look how touching that is, look at the relationship. He didn't say, what were you doing then? He trusted her. But he said, I did something 3 times, which is greater than your zikr. MashaAllah. So all I mentioned today was basically clarifying upon the certainty that our beloved mothers, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, are certainly from the Ahlul Bayt. There's no doubt about that. Anybody who makes you think otherwise is a fruitcake. What sort of a family takes out their mother? I can't keep stressing to reiterate that. If somebody goes, who's the most important component of any family unit? What's the first thing that comes to your head? The mother. Imagine somebody goes, the whole family is solid, but we don't believe the mother's part of the family. What sort of a family is that? Astaghfirullah. And then if they've got the stupidity to say, who says they're your mother? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read Surah Ahzab. Have you got a problem that he's called them your mothers? If Allah ta'ala says this piece of rock is your mother, that rock becomes your mother. We don't start using logic. Well, she's not my biological mother and it's a figure. It doesn't matter, brother. Allah ta'ala has called her that. The mother of all believers. But what's touching about that? When one of the mothers passed away, I just mentioned this from memory, in Ibn Sa'd and his Tabaqat, I think it was Aisha. When Aisha passed away to Jannat al-Firdaus radiyallahu anh, somebody came to a tabi'in. He goes, how do you feel? So the tabi'in said, whoever believes she was his mother, they will grieve. Whoever does not believe that, like, you know, and I can't remember the harsh words he used. In other words, how can you not grieve upon the death of your mother? So he goes, the fact that I'm grieving shows that she's my mother. But what he was saying was, believe you or not, some people are happy she's dead. Imagine somebody goes to you, you see a guy skipping down the street. What, brother, what's the good news? My mother's died. Right? You probably grab the guy thinking, are you being... Right? Imagine people are being, you know, happy Aisha day that she died. Let's let the balloons out with children. Astaghfirullah. And these people say, we love the family of the Prophet. Imagine. Astaghfirullah. And that's why it's critical to go through the lives of your mothers. If they're your mothers, Allah Ta'ala has called them your mothers. There's a reason He's called them your mothers. And when you go through their lives, you realize why. They were hand-picked by the Lord of all the worlds. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم